And right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to shift gears. And, you know, in my cruising around in the world, I listen to a lot of radio in my car. I'm a radio guy. And I heard a very compelling interview with an old friend on a small San Francisco radio station on KPU this week. And it was about the shutting down and selling off of a prolific radio station, KUSF, in San Francisco. And to tell the story here, I've got one of the former programmers and longtime blues, jazz, I'm going to let him tell you, Mr. Harry Duncan, Harry D. Are you there, Harry? Okay. Now I know you are. Harry, you there?
Yes, I am.
All
Hello.
Right. We got Harry Duncan on the line right here. Harry, you're a former programmer of KUSF, long time, 27 years on the air there, right?
Correct.
And I'd like to just say what I know about you. I first saw you playing harmonica backing up Eddie Cleanhead Vincent out on the and Sonny Land Slim out on the coast at Bach Dancing Dynamite Society. You were the original booking agent of Slim's when it was a blues club when it first opened. You've had a long history in the blues world. You were very close to Sonny Land Slim. Harry, introduce yourself beyond that.
Man, that's a tall order. But I came out here in 1972 as a harmonica player and kind of tour manager, road manager, booking agent, manager for Sonny Land Slim, and we did a tour with Mike Bloomfield, because I literally, physically, bumped into Mike Bloomfield outside the Jazz Record Mart in Chicago, and earlier in that fall of 72, and we got to talking, and he noted to me about how much Sonny Land had meant to him, because quite literally, Sonny Land was one of the first musicians that ever got him up on the stage and encouraged him and kind of cribbed him along.
Hmm.
This was a good while before, you know, his tenure with the Paul Butterfield Blues Band.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then that led to me working with Keystone Corner Jazz Club. And in 1974, it was the line producer, meaning the talent buyer and kind of the person that was responsible for programming and continuity on the Monterey Jazz Festival Blues Afternoon, and there were some very great shows there, and that's, I'm not saying that self-congratulatorily.
How long did you do that job?
74, 75, and then 78 through 79, 77 through 79.
Name some of the artists you remember, some of the high points about that Blues Saturday Afternoon.
One of the better shows was in 1975, which from the bottom up was Sonny Land Slim, Big Walter Horton, George Harmonica Smith, and Robert Jr. Lockwood all playing together.
Oh, God.
With a walk-on from Toots Thielman. Then the Meters, then Etta James, which for my money at that time was one of the heights of her career.
Sure.
Very strong and very focused. And then Bobby Blue Bland.
Oh, my gosh. With the big band.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Harry.
And in 77 and 79... were the first appearances ever on the West Coast of the Neville Brothers Band. Because when the Meters imploded in early spring of 77, maybe about 6 weeks after that, we helped put together the Neville Brothers Band.
Didn't the Wild Chapatulas come out with them too?
Well, yeah, it was the first one was the Neville Brothers, the Wild Chapatulas, Professor Longhair and Dr. John. And then that show also played for a week at the boarding house, you know, which was the Bush and Taylor here in town.
Yeah, you go way back, Harry. This is Harry Duncan you're hearing, ladies and gentlemen, former programmer at KUSF and longtime blues everything. Harry, you played, you booked, you were the backbone of the blues scene from Monterey up to San Francisco, and the world's changed quite a bit since then, hasn't it?
Yeah, but you know, I think that there's people that still have the knowledge. It's not just confined to blues. You know, we're talking about jazz and ska and roots reggae and African and world music. I think the two words that I like to use a lot, the quality and the diversity of the music, not only live, but it's still very strong on radio, whether it's terrestrial, you know, stations that also have online capability like KZSU.
Yeah.
But, you know, look at folks like our good friend Charlie Lang on KUSP in Santa Cruz, or all the great stuff that happens on KPFA.
And, right.
anyway, that's what's so criminal, really, about the way the sale of KUSF went down on Tuesday.
Yeah, let's set the stage about that, too. So 30-something years old, the station was.
34
years old.
Yep.
And run by the USF, University of San Francisco administration, owned and operated by them. A lot of volunteers there. And it wasn't just students. It wasn't just people from the outside, from the community. But it, from your interview on KPU the other night, I found out you had Chinese language shows.
Well, there you go, hitting the nail on the head with, again, the diversity of programming and the quality of that diversity. I think KUSF, with respect to being a diverse community resource, is, you know, just as important as stations that also fulfill that niche, you know, like KPU or KPFA. There were Armenian, French, Turkish, Polish, Italian, German, and radio shows that focused on news, music, and culture each and every week. And Monday through Friday, Chinese Star Radio and Good News for Today, which were both Chinese language programs broadcast in Cantonese that were highly valued, you know, in the Chinese community.
Mm-hmm.
And a vital source of information. Then you had, you know, specialized non-music show, a show called Mind and Body that talked about integrative complementary, you know, medicine, movie magazine, shoestring radio theater, words on theater, so forth and so on. That doesn't even begin to touch on, you know, the music programming. And new music was, and will continue to be, a vital showcase and spotlight, not only for up-and-coming musicians in Indian alternative music, but the all styles of rock, all styles of heavy metal, all styles of roots reggae and, you know, reggae offshoots, bluegrass, rockabilly, folk, extraordinary programming for my money. Mm-hmm. On and each of these folks that had a shift during new music, which was from midnight till 6 p.m. the next day, Monday through Friday. That's a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're impassioned about the style of music that they may have been involved with as musicians or what have, or people that worked in, you know, frontline alternative record stores. There's a lot of passion here, and that doesn't even begin to also touch on the folks that did cultural programming, which is what I fell into. So, you know, again, the variety of news, the variety of information, and the great variety of music in the cultural programming, which was Monday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 12 midnight, and then on the weekends, you know, is by anybody's standards, is extraordinary.
Yeah. Harry Duncan, the guest, former programmer of the now defunct KUSF, in the sense that it's not on the radio dial anymore. I guess it's come out that it will have a online presence sometime in the future. But Harry, why was the station gotten rid of? What happened? For folks who don't know or haven't read the story in the paper, what was the circumstances behind this whole thing?
On one level, I don't think it's that difficult to figure out. I think this is part of a continuing trend of colleges and universities selling off valued and valuable assets to put money in their back in their pocket. And, you know, to say the least, KUSF was a valued, or certainly a valuable asset, or as it turned out in this sale, went down for $3.75 million, which ironically is, you know, I think probably grossly undervalued the station, but that's neither here nor there at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What's a bone of contention for me and the other 200 volunteers involved with the station is that this was done like a stealth operation, completely, utterly, totally, without notice.
What was the
circumstance? That includes no input, no discussion whatsoever with anybody on the volunteer staff.
How did they turn it off?
They simply turned the signal off at 10 a.m. Tuesday, and you know, the program or the station manager and the program director were informed of that an hour before in a meeting with the dean and the assistant dean.
Wow.
So it's not like they have an opportunity to mobilize a lot of folks or get the word out because they were under constant supervision. But the, you know, kind of the paramilitary aspects of yanking off the air, DJ Smeejay is his on-air name. His real name is Howard Ryan, who's, you know, valued and valuable member of the KUSF new music staff. Without him having an opportunity to say goodbye, without an opportunity in any way, shape, or form to explain what's going on, he's one of the new music directors. Aaron Swernoff, one of the other new music directors, was there. Again, had no voice, had no opportunity to do anything. When folks went to the president's office to try and discuss this or find out more information, they were turned away by a USF public safety, which, of course, is an aphorism for police.
Mm-hmm.
I think a key word here is disrespect. It's disrespect not only to the 200 volunteers, like myself, but to the community at large. Now, is it the University of San Francisco's obligation, and I put that in quotes, or responsibility, to fund a community radio station? That could be argued successfully either way. But again, there was no due process here. This was like when somebody go, you know, a Comcast takeover. If somebody was to go into KCBS or someone was to go into KFOG, you know, the hostile corporate takeover of a community radio station like this, you know, has no place, particularly if you look at the irony of University of San Francisco being a deservedly, you know, well-respected institution of higher learning.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's a Jesuit institution.
Hmm.
Now, if you look at the fundamental, you know, precepts or principles, you know, and I'm painting with a broad brush here, it's, you know, it includes fairness, and it includes democracy, and it, of course, includes, if you pardon the bad English here, inclusion. None of that was put into play, and none of that was evidence in this, you know, paramilitary takeover and shutdown of the station on Tuesday.
Now, you guys had a meeting right after that where you said 500 people showed up, and the president of the university attended too, right?
Yeah, Father Steve Previtt, who is the president of USF, came. Now, I admire him for coming, and I told him so when I had an opportunity to speak at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
He took his lumps. I don't know that there was a lot of fresh information or insight or given to the volunteers. This just wasn't volunteers there. This was community members. This was current University of San Francisco students, some of whom actively worked and participated at the station. There were artists in the crowd. There were venue owners in the crowd. There were all kinds of both on and offline media in the crowd. I hope I mentioned community members.
Yeah.
This kind of thing going down at a place like University of San Francisco that prides itself and certainly actively publicizes and markets itself the way it does, you know, is unacceptable, simply unacceptable.
Now,
and I think, you know, there are a lot of serious questions that need to be asked about what the evolution of this switch from KUSF to an online-only format is going to be. It was made abundantly clear by Father Stephen Previtt at the meeting on Wednesday that the top priority for this KUSF being online only is going to be for a, you know, to be for a student learning lab, you know, for the folks that are into communications and broadcasting. You know, in and of itself, there's certainly, you know, there has to be a place for that. But I think at the same time, nothing substantial has been learned about whether, in fact, or how this KUSF online-only format is going to accommodate all the new music folks or all the cultural programming folks that even at this point might even want to participate in the station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's good for KZSU listeners to understand this was really, in essence, a three-way deal that KDFC, the all-classical music station here in town, immediately upon taking over the 90.3 FM, the KUSF frequency, became a nonprofit. At their frequency, 102.1, the Fox, which broadcasts out of San Jose and wanted a greater, i.e. stronger, frequency presence here in town, took over KDFC's frequency. So, you know, it was kind of a three-way deal, but who got put out of the equation and out of the picture is KUSF.
Mm-hmm.
The university still owns the KUSF name, the KUSF logo, and the KUSF music library. There will be a KUSF volunteers meeting on Wednesday to hear or be presented with more information about exactly, you know, what's going to happen with this online format and when.
When and where is that meeting, Harry?
I don't know if that's a public meeting.
Okay.
So
all right.
I don't want to speak to that.
I hear you. If folks do want to get involved with any kind of, I don't think it's coming back. It'll be online, but if
well, that's something that we talked about before we went on the air.
Mm-hmm.
The sale still has to be approved by the FCC.
That's right.
You know, can and will this sale be scrutinized, and can it be contested? Absolutely. So there's two very good sites for people to learn more information about what's happening and that offer, you know, up-to-minute news about what's happening, how to get the word out, and where. One would be SaveKUSF, www.savekusf.org.
Okay.
And on the Save KUSF site, there are active links for the Save KUSF Facebook page, which when I last looked at it, had almost 5,000 people that had signed up in 2 days.
Wow.
There's a Save KUSF online petition, and you can also sign up for the Save KUSF mailing list. Also, a long-standing site that's a labor of love for Brian Chandler, one of the volunteers at the station who's done a lot of great work and a lot of great programming, I might add. Show is very hip that he did. He has www.kusfarchives.com, www.kusfarchives.com. On the archive site, you can get the same kind of up-to-the-minute news about what's happening that you can on the Save KUSF site. At the same time, I strongly urge folks to go there to sample, you know, the rich diversity of programming that's made the station what it is. There's shows there. You just press hour one or hour two, and off you go. You can hear any number of the great shows that were on the station, both in new music programming and cultural programming.
Is that KUSF archive site, is that a .com or a .org?
.com.
Okay, .com.
Yeah.
That's great. That is
KUSFarchives.com is invaluable, not only locally and statewide and regionally and nationally, but internationally. You can also, on the right-hand side of the site, scrolling will show you what countries, you know, have listened to the station, and it's extraordinary when you take a look at that.
Mm-hmm. Harry Duncan is our guest right now, former programmer for 27 years at KUSF, prolific radio station in San Francisco, did a whole lot more than just play music. And your show started out as a kind of a blues and roots show, but it evolved way beyond that, didn't it, Harry?
They used to call me an early Bird Hale. Now, come on.
Settle down, Harry. You were on before me, man.
I started out doing blues and vintage R&B. I don't like that word. Great early R&B.
Mm-hmm.
And vintage makes it sound like an oldies station. Early R&B and some gospel. And it's evolved into what it is now, which is all styles of soul and funk. Lots of great New Orleans R&B and funk and Mardi Gras Indian music. Jazz from kind of hard bop to the future. Ska, roots, reggae, Latin, African, world music. And I love to play some of the stuff that, you know, is commonly not heard here, like some good quality, hard to find, you know, Washington, D.C. go-go funk and so forth and so on. Trombone shout band music, that kind of thing.
If we on this non-commercial radio side have a mandate, it would be to play the stuff that doesn't get played anywhere else, wouldn't it?
It isn't. It's not would be. It is a mandate.
That's right. That is our mandate. We don't want to hear any mainstream stuff on these airwaves. Harry, what's up for you now? First of all, paint a picture. When something like that happens after you've been doing a show for 27 years, let's just focus on you for a minute. When something like that happens, how did that make you feel? Give us a little glimpse into just how shattering that had to be when you find out this thing I've been working on for 27 years as a volunteer just got snatched out of my hands. I can't do it anymore. How did that feel?
I was angry and enraged, but also grossly disappointed. I don't feel disempowered, quite to the contrary, because one of the things, again, we talked about before we went on the air, is I think it's inspiring and also inspired to... I know that this is, you know, cultivating and generating and empowering a whole new group of cultural politicos. And when people like you and I, you know, might have been doing organizing work and were radical politicos, we didn't have the kind of extraordinary and far-reaching communication access or skills, you know, that are there now through the internet and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phones, smartphones. I mean, this stuff didn't, you know, in the 60s or 70s, it wasn't there. I mean, fax wasn't even there then.
Well, we do know from current events that the uprising in Tunisia happened through Twitter.
Right.
I mean, that's earth-shattering when you think about it.
So I'm saying here that there are a lot of KUSF volunteers who are actively involved in this that aren't going to throw those shoulders up and just say, oh, you know, we're done, and are going to be supported and on every level, you know, by community members, by artists, by labels, by, you know, current students, former students, alumni. It's important that people know two things are happening this coming Tuesday here in San Francisco. So if you want to get up off your seat and on your feet down there in the peninsula and come up and support, it would certainly be appreciated. There'll be a rally at 1 p.m. on the steps of San Francisco City Hall, right on Van Ness Avenue between Grove and McAllister.
Okay.
At 2 p.m. this coming Tuesday is the San Francisco Board of Supervisors meeting. And it's really critical that people can make their support known to District 5 Supervisor Ross Mercurimi, who actually showed up at the meeting on Wednesday night with USF President Stephen Privet and the 500-plus folks that were there. He can be reached at Ross, R-O-S-S, dot, Mercurimi, M-I-R-K-A-R-I-M-I, at sfgov.org.
Okay.
So we urge people to contact his office and to email him with support before this 2 p.m. Tuesday Board of Supervisors meeting.
Yeah. Now, this is that's organized in there. That's the way to get stuff done, because if the people show up, that can... That has a way of changing things around sometimes. Harry, what's up for you now? Where do you see yourself? Are you going to be participate in this online, the new online-only KUSF?
I don't know would be the answer. I've got, you know, we'll have to see what evolves.
But you will be at the rally this Tuesday.
I will be supportive of this thing all the way down the line. There's other ways that I can, you know, help mobilize things and help move things along that don't necessarily involve me being at rallies.
And
long-standing relationships in the music business, you know, and so forth, and in the media.
Mm-hmm. Well, Harry, I want to thank you for your time, and I want to thank you for all your years. If folks want to hear your show,
because folks want to hear my show, they can go to this. They can go to my Blogspot, which has all my shows archived with full playlists back to December of 08. That's www.inthesoulkitchen.blogspot.org.
Okay. And they can hear all your shows. That's wonderful.
Back to December of 08. Otherwise, they're going to have to... You know what? This just shows I'm a little exhausted. www.inthesoulkitchen.blogspot.com.
Okay.
I was looking at the savekusf.org.
And I bet if they just Googled In the Soul Kitchen, your show would probably come up, too.
Yep.
Harry,
I'd like to give folks those two addresses again, though, to get up-to-the-minute news and information about what's happening with the effort to preserve KUSF. Mm-hmm. www.savekusf.org.
Okay.
And www.kusfarchives, all one word, .com.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can rally the people and get something done about this. But, Harry, you stay in touch and keep letting us know, give us updates and let us know what's going on, okay?
You know, Bird, what we talked about, I want to what did Woody Allen say in that film? I want to interject this at this juncture. I think it's really important that KZSU listeners see what's happening to KUSF in context, meaning it's not only a matter of stepping up and standing tall, but standing in unity and solidarity with other stations like this. The Bay Area, and trust me on this, because I've been all over the country, you know, on tours I've done and so forth, it's not something to be taken for granted. The Bay Area, Northern California, enjoys one of the greatest, collections and a rich diversity of non-commercial FM programming anywhere, not only in the country, but in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at it, there's, you know, KZSU, there's KALX, there's KFGC, there's KCSM, all college stations.
Yeah.
Or affiliated with college stations.
KPOO and
KPOO, one of the premier community stations.
Yep.
In the
KKUP
world.
In Cupertino.
KUOP.
Yeah.
And I don't want to leave out KUSP in Santa Cruz, because I think that demands and holds a special place in Northern California programming, and KPFA.
Yeah.
So, you know, all hell's breaking loose periodically at KPFA, and there's changes, you know, in programming at KUSP and everywhere else. So I think, you know, conscious people of conscience have to, you know, kind of reach across programming lines or any ideological or political differences and help ensure that these independently run, you know, communication entities, whether it's, you know, only terrestrial-based radio, terrestrial and online or online only, are given a chance to, you know, remain independent of the kind of thing that, you know, unconscionably went down with the sale of KUSF last Tuesday, with no notice, no involvement, you know, no input whatsoever from you know, long-time KUSF volunteers. And again, there's 200 folks that are part of the volunteer staff there.
And the community that listened, that needed that information that those volunteers are providing.
Yeah, I mean, we talked earlier in this interview about the underserved communities that relied on some of these shows, like Chinese Star Radio, for information, for news, for culture, and music. It's important that people stay on this KUSF thing.
Mm-hmm. And I'll hand out the website many times before I go off the air today. Harry, in the future, in the very near future, can I get you down here on a Saturday morning to play some blues?
Absolutely.
Okay, man. Let's stay.
Brother B, behind the mic with the strong stuff you like on KZSU.
Amen. Harry D.
Thank you, man. I want to thank you for me. And also for all the KUSF volunteers and the people that are working so tirelessly and so hard and so, you know, in a focused way
mm-hmm.
to move forward here. And it may well be that something new evolves out of this.
I think it should.
And people should, you know, be mindful of that and be supportive of that in whatever way they can.
Make some lemonade. You got lemons. Make it.
Bird, thank you very much.
Thank you, Harry. You take care. Keep up the good work, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye. Harry Duncan right there. Harry D. He's into clubs, too. Every once in a while, he'll do a DJ gig at a club where he's playing some of that great old R&B and vintage stuff. Once again, the website's savekusf.org or kusfarchives.com. There will be a rally this Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the steps of City Hall in San Francisco. That's the hour before the city council meeting. Ross Micarini is the supervisor of that part of San Francisco. And he can be contacted, too, at ross.micarinisfgov.org. And stay apprised of this. This is very important stuff. That's why I took time out of my blue show today to talk to Harry D. Harry Duncan.